Welcome to Finance Made Easy with Karin and Ibi, where we will demystify and educate on all the different aspects of money. Welcome. Well, today we're going to be talking about company benefits. Exciting stuff.
Yes, we are. I've got some good questions for you guys about what to do with your company benefits when you take your first job after you graduate college.
Yeah, and you know what? It can be really intimidating when, you know, you go through the whole process of interviewing. Well, first, I mean, trying to figure out what you want to do. Then you start interviewing. You know, you've done your resume, your cover letters, you've done the whole thing there, and go through the multiple different interviewing levels and processes. And
background
then,
check.
Background check. Then you get your acceptance letter and you're like, oh, so excited. First job. Can't wait. And then you get there first day, and usually sitting on your desk is a very large packet or folder that looks really intimidating. And now you have to answer all these questions. So hopefully what our goal today is to go through what are some of the more common benefits that your company may or may not offer, and just kind of help give you some clarity and, you know, maybe some guidance on what to do
with that. Awesome. Thank you. So I can still remember my first day starting at UBS, and they sent me this email with big red font, and it said, "Welcome to your first day at UBS." And I was all excited, sitting in my desk, you know, with my three pins. And I start scrolling through this email, and it's like, selecting benefits, contact HR, you need to set up direct deposit.
You need it's to very set up, overwhelming,
it
isn't
is.
It?
Yeah, set up your beneficiaries.
Like, wait, now I have homework that I have to do?
I thought I was just going to have to work and get paid, but now you actually want me to do all this homework before I can get paid? Oh my gosh. So I just remember it being kind of overwhelming. And with our topic today, I wanted to talk to you guys about how do you get started on that? What would you guys have to say about 401ks, you know, beneficiaries, kind of all that stuff? So I guess I would direct my first question to you, Evie.
Okay.
What would you, kind of a broad level of a 401k, and why is it important to new people starting out in the workforce to invest in a 401k?
Okay, well, first I'm going to just take a little step back. And what I'm going to say is these company benefits, that email that you got that was so overwhelming that first day, we tend to think of the benefit of work is our salary, right? Or our paycheck that we get every couple weeks. And really, our paycheck tends to account for about 70% of our total compensation. So there's 30% of further compensation out there that is all of these different company benefits. And one of them, like you mentioned, Brett, is 401k. That's a big one. So this is a way of, you know, I don't know if you've talked with your parents and if they receive pensions or other type of company benefits. Well, really, pensions have gone away, right? Those are no longer. So those aren't anything.
For the most part. Companies still have pensions.
Some companies do, but for the most part, people that are starting out in the business or in the real world now in jobs, on average, won't have access to pensions. And so really, 401ks are the vehicle that people can use to save for retirement. The most important thing with a 401k is just that you start. Just start. The nice thing, you put money, they take money out of your paycheck automatically. It goes into an account that's your account, okay? And the company, most companies actually put money in as well. As long as you're putting money in, they can match. And all companies are different, but it's just so important that you start.
I love it.
Well, and one thing I want to add to that is that, you know, we talk about 401ks, but those are more corporate benefits. Mm-hmm. If you get a job with the government or a school, it could be a 403b or a 457k. A lot of the government jobs have pensions still, and we have different types of retirement benefits. So whatever you're offered, make sure you understand what it is, but for the most part, it's the same. It's giving money to yourself.
Yes.
Tax-free. Or tax-deferred, sorry. Yeah.
Well, and that's an important part that you mentioned here, Karen, is, you know, I talk to younger people just starting out, and they say, well, it's my money. I don't want the company to take it away from me. And it's you know, I'm like, no, it is still your money. It's just going into an account that's your account, but it's really an account that's meant for your retirement. And let me just tell you, your future self, we're talking to your future self now, you are going to thank yourself so much for starting at a younger age here. So,
well, and I think that's a really good point, because I know, like you had mentioned, the pensions, a lot of people's parents have pensions. A lot of our parents still have Social Security. Mm-hmm. And a big worry for millennials, I think, is just that there might not even be any Social Security by the time that we retire.
Even more reason to save
even more.
Earlier exactly. And as much as you can.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, after the crisis in 2008, I think a lot of people's parents did take a big hit from, you know, the market crash. And that's also another reason for us to want to invest in our retirement as opposed to keeping our money all in our savings account or our checking account, mm-hmm. you know, and plan for retirement as opposed to being fearful of what might happen in the future with the market.
Right.
Ooh, and you're teeing us up perfectly for next week's episode, where we're really going to dig in more and talk more about investing. But investing does go hand in hand with a 401k. So it can be, you know, if you've never invested before, it can be a little daunting, where they are like, here, how much do you want to put in? They start throwing out terms that you've never heard of before. Pick how you want them to be invested. And it can be a little overwhelming. So we can break some of that down here.
Yeah, I was going to say, kind of my big first question for you ladies would be, how much would you guys suggest a fresh out of college student should be contributing to their 401k, 403b, whatever it might be?
What I'd love to say for everybody is to start at 10%. Because if you start there and then work your budget around that, and remember, it's pre-tax. So let's say you earn a dollar. You get a dollar and you're in the 30% tax bracket. When you get that, 30% goes to taxes, so you get 70 cents on the dollar, right? But if you put that $1 in your 401k, that's 100% mm-hmm. goes into your 401k for your future.
True. And is there a max? I don't know if anyone right out of college would be able to do that.
There are maxes. They change every single year. The IRS kind of has different guidelines on that. So, you know, maybe fresh out of college, you're not necessarily shooting for the max. Now, I would definitely say make sure if 10%, if you're like, absolutely no way, not in the cards. I agree with Karen. I think that's a wonderful first, you know, goal to just start there. If that's making it so you can't purchase food or rent, at least make sure you're putting in the most so you're getting the most match from your employer, whatever that may be.
Okay. And will the company tell you what the match is?
Yeah, they will. It's going to be in all those documents in that email that you got that you probably had to, you know, print out stacks of papers. You know, you can talk with your parents about it, talk with friends. They've probably still gone, you know, they've gone through it as well. And it will clearly state, you know, we will match X percentage, but you only get the match if you put the money in yourself too.
So in other words, it's 100% return on your money.
It is.
So if you have 3% match, mm-hmm. you at least put in 3%, and then you get 3%, let's just say it's 3,000 just to make the math easier. And then the company matches 3,000. That's 100% in your return. You can't leave that on the table.
No.
I mean, you have to start the second you can with your 401k plan to get that match. And the 10%, I just say to do that for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. I mean, not something that, just start out that way. That should be a good guideline for you.
Yeah.
And then once you get used to not having that, you don't really even think about it if it's just direct deposit straight.
Absolutely.
And that's the best. Great point. Great point, Brett. That's the best thing about this is it's just automatic. You don't have to like send in money every 2 weeks into your 401k. It just happens automatically. So you don't even miss it.
Yeah. That would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll all get there one day. And I know there are... This is just kind of high level, but different kinds of 401ks out there. Could you guys tell us a little bit about the difference and maybe why you should choose one, like a Roth 401k, Roth IRA versus traditional, just generally if people don't know what that's about?
Okay, so the 401k or the 403p, whatever it is that your company offers, is one plan. They create that plan for you and give you investment choices within that. You only have the ability to choose what's available to you. That's the unfortunate thing, but also it makes it a lot easier. And they probably have done a good due diligence creating a 401k plan. Now, when you invest in your 401k, you can either do tax deferred, which is just regular 401k. So some companies offer you the ability to put money into a Roth 401k. Or you can decide if you want to do the regular 401k or the Roth 401k. Now, the difference is that when you put money, like I had mentioned before about the $1 coming back and you only get 70 cents, right? Well, when you put it into 401k, the $1 goes into that. It's pre-tax dollars. But if you put money into a Roth, it's after-tax dollars. So you only put the 70 cents in, basically, but then it grows tax-free for the rest of your life. When you take money out of your 401k, when you're 65 or 70, you have to pay taxes on it. But if it's a Roth, it's tax-free. I know that's kind of confusing, but
it
depends on if you have a lot of taxes when you're putting money into the 401k.
Mm-hmm. And what also is important is, now we're speaking generally with plans, but in most plans, if they do offer a 401k Roth option, you don't have to do all of one or the other. You can also do a blend. You could do...
I like 50-50, to be honest.
I like 50-52. But what's really important, and I find people have some confusion around it, is if someone's doing 100% in a Roth 401k, your employer match is always going to be traditional IRA or traditional 401k dollars in there. So just something to keep in mind, because your employer wants to get that deduction. So they're not going to put in the match of Roth dollars.
Ah, that's a really good point. I just like, for me, this is how my brain works, but with a Roth would be a good idea for somebody who is making less, who's in a lower tax bracket. Correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I feel like for a lot of kids straight out of college, a Roth would be a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you think when you're going to be taking the money out in retirement, you may be in a higher tax bracket, or just taxes may be higher when you're taking it out.
Yeah, I think that's the hope for all of us, right?
Right? Yeah, exactly.
And then, Ebi, you had earlier mentioned about, you know, there's lots of wording, verbiage that maybe we don't understand.
They like to throw in a lot of scary things like that, yeah, right?
Yeah, exactly. You just got done studying for college. Now you get to study new things. I was wondering about, you had mentioned vesting to me. Could you tell me what the heck does vesting mean?
So vesting, what that is... Basically, once that whatever dollars you put into your 401k account from your paycheck, those are always your dollars. The company, when they're matching the money that you put in, and it's the company dollars that they're putting in, they put some strings attached to that. And that's what vesting is. So there may be, and these can be very different, but a common one that we see is after you've worked for that company for 3 years, then the company match the dollars that they've put in is now 100% vested, you'll see. And what that means is that's now your dollars. So if you find a new job and go to a different employer, you're able to now take those company dollars that they matched in your 401k with you.
Okay.
Versus if you have, let's just say it's a 3-year, they'll throw in another vesting schedule. Let's say there's a 3-year vesting schedule and you leave in year two, you would not be able to take those company dollars that they matched with you. You always, your money that you put in from your paycheck, though, is always yours.
Got it. Okay, so you're just leaving money on the table that the company has matched.
So it's just something to keep in mind and just something to know about what is the specific vesting schedules. And there's lots of different ones out there. I just throw out the 3-year because that's a common one that we see.
So in other words, if you have, I'm just going to say 4-year to make the vesting schedule easier. Like if you have a 4-year vesting schedule, it's 25% every year. So if you leave in year two or after year two, you've vested 50%, so 25 and 25. You can take that 50% with you. You just can't take the other 50%. So that's the schedule. Whatever's vested is what you can take with you.
So this might be going on a tangent, but can we maybe talk about the difference? I don't even know if anyone right out of college would have deferred compensation, but is that similar to deferred compensation, kind of the golden handcuffs keeping you at a company, or is that only for higher earning employees?
Deferred compensation is usually the ability to, just what it means, defer your compensation. So yeah, it's usually for higher level executives offering so that you can defer it so you don't have to, so you can save some of that money for your retirement or for the future. But it's different than a 401k.
Yeah.
But it is. It's just deferring the compensation.
Okay. I don't know if any of us will have to worry about that for a while.
Hopefully you will. Just maybe it's not something right out of college that people are dealing with. It's probably not in that first email packet that you get.
No. Unless you get a really good job. I don't know. Thank you. And I know we're going to dive further into the investing side of things in our next upcoming podcast. So stay tuned for that. But just generally, would you guys have suggestions for how people should invest in their 401k? I mean, like, I've talked to people and there's the target retirement dates. Would you, for somebody that knows nothing about investing, what would you ladies suggest?
Those are a great way to get your feet wet and to start out investing in your 401k. Basically, how those work is you pick, and this can be a little scary when you look at it because you're picking your target retirement date. So the year that you're looking out can seem like it'll never come, really, really far out in the future, which is okay though. And what that means is this is kind of the set it and forget it type approach. So you pick the target date or the date that's kind of closest to when you are thinking you're going to retire. It doesn't mean you have to retire in that year, but basically when it's really far out, if it's 30, 40 years out from now, it's going to be invested really aggressively. So it's going to be invested much more in like growth stocks. As it gets closer and closer to that date, that's being the targeted retirement date, that's automatically going to get more and more and more conservative, because as you start approaching that date, they know that you're going to be needing to start drawing on that money for your retirement. So it's kind of a nice way to just have it all happen automatically and to start out investing.
Perfect. Kind of leads me into my next question, like piggybacking off of that. When you're close to retirement and you need to start drawing on that money, say that you're not close to retirement and somebody is looking to purchase something, what would you tell people about touching that money?
Don't do it.
I think I knew your answer before I asked you that question.
I would say that's the last resort bucket. This money, when you're putting it away, really think of it that you're investing in yourself, you're investing in your retirement, and that is just what it is meant for. There's obviously some larger purchases when you're just starting out, like a first-time home, that sort of thing. I still, if at all possible, I would not recommend dipping into your 401k to access those funds. And in a lot of cases, if you do, dip into your 401k or take money out before you retire, there's penalties. The IRS says, no, 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 this money was meant for retirement, so we're going to penalize you.
Is that
taking that money out?
Certain percentage?
It is. Right now it's 10% penalty on that. There are some exclusions to it, but just don't do it, people.
Okay. Crystal clear. Thank you. Say that you were, to make a job change, what happens then? Do you just have to drop that money, or what can you do with it?
Yeah, you can actually take that money and roll it into another company plan if you change jobs, or you can roll it to an IRA and manage it yourself. Like we talked about, every plan has their own plan. If you want to be a little bit more diversified, you can manage it on your own or hire a financial advisor to help you. But yeah, you can take it with you, basically. And the vested portion of your...
The vested portion. Yeah. It is your money, though.
Okay. Good. That's good to know. Just yeah. For people who are, maybe fearful about investing in a 401k, and then if they change jobs, can they take it with them? Do they have to leave it? Do they get penalized for leaving?
No, the important thing, though, is that you may want to work with somebody when you're doing that, just because you want to make sure that it gets put in the right type of account, because you don't want to have any penalties if it gets put in the wrong type of account. So that's important.
Okay, awesome. And just looking at, I know 401k is obviously kind of the biggest, scariest thing when you start your first job, but there's other benefits as well, about like health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most people right out of college are healthy. Not many people are sick or dying, hopefully, yet. But obviously there's, situations.
When Evie talked about having 30% of your compensation being in benefits, this is a big part of it. Mm-hmm. Healthcare, as you know, is really, really expensive. And if you can get with a company that will help you with some of those expenses, that's great. And there are varying degrees of health benefits that you can sign up for. So you kind of have to, the company helps pay for some of it, or some of the companies do, but you have to ante up as well. So it's important for you to understand the different kinds of medical benefits that are offered. So if you're young, really healthy, you probably want to go with the highest deductible, lowest cost. And that might be just easier because they take it straight out of your paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand what you're buying, and then to be honest, use it.
Use it.
Go to the doctor. Go to the dentist.
Do
it. Use those benefits. They're part of your compensation.
Perfect. Thank you. I think just a lot of my friends are fearful of like, well, I never go to the doctor. I don't get hurt. I don't need it. But in that off chance that you break a bone and have to go to the doctor, that would be crazy expensive if you don't have health insurance.
Yes, it is.
So expensive. There can be any little tiny accident that happened. We had somebody that we work with that burned his foot.
Oh, no.
And his medical bills, if he didn't have insurance, would have been $50,000 plus. So...
Well, and I mentioned this before, but if you have a high deductible and you do go to the doctor, understand what you're paying for what mm-hmm. you're getting.
Yeah.
So ask the questions when you go to the doctor. Like if you need stitches, let's say, because something happened, ask him how much it's going to be, because it's going to be a deductible that you're going to have to pay out of pocket until you hit that deductible. There are also things that company offers you to put money away for those type of things called HSAs, their health savings accounts. Take full advantage of those if you can, because first of all, they grow tax-free and can be used in your future if you don't use everything, but it comes out pre-tax out of your paycheck and then puts into a separate account that you can help pay for some of those expenses.
I love it. And that you don't have to use that year.
For a health savings account, no, that one you can roll over year to year. Health savings accounts are paired with high deductible plans, like Karin mentioned.
Yeah. So, Ebi, could you tell me, are there other types of accounts similar to HSAs available that maybe we could consider?
Yeah, there are. And so some people may have the option of what's called a flexible spending account. You may see FSA. Some FSAs are health FSAs, which flexible spending accounts, which you can use for health expenses. Those do not roll over year to year. You may also see flexible spending accounts or FSAs for things like daycare expenses. We use those pretty heavily, or you know, things like with your eyeglasses or dental.
Okay. Okay, perfect. So kind of the biggest differentiator? Wow. Sorry. Would be that HSA high deductible, you can roll that over year to year. FSA, you cannot. So use it or lose it, people.
You got it.
Awesome. We kind of have gone through the health insurance. What about life insurance? What do you ladies have to say about that? Because most college students are worried about buying groceries, not disability and life insurance.
Well, I'm not a huge fan of life insurance when you're young. What I think about life insurance, I think about you need to protect something. So if you're married and you have children and you're the sole breadwinner, that kind of thing, I think you need to figure out what you need to cover your dependents. But if you're just starting out and you're single, a lot of companies give you a basic life insurance, like just the basic of your salary for free. Okay. And if that's the case, that's great. It helps if something happens to you, it helps with funeral expenses, those kind of things. But I'm not a huge fan of paying for a lot of life insurance when you don't need it.
So one story that I will just add to that, I know that some plans, including our plan here, when I first started, they do pay 1 year of your salary for free, they give you. But then they also have supplemental life insurance that you can buy. And I know other companies are like this as well. If you don't elect to even just do one level or one time your base pay supplemental life insurance, then if you ever do want to do that, let's say, you know, years down the road of when you do have children or are married and have a home and do have those people that you want to protect if something happens to you, you have to go through a screening process and provide what's called evidence of insurability. So when I first started, I wasn't married and I didn't have anybody, but I looked at that and said, it's really not very expensive because I'm so young. And so I just did the one time because I knew it would be kind of a pain to go through the process of the evidence of insurability down the road.
So funny that we're talking about this, but my husband and I just had a little boy in December, and that's when we figured we should do wills, you know,
set up. Good idea.
Yeah, thank you. Yep. Yeah, set up like power of attorney and stuff for all that money that we have in the bank. So then we started looking at insurance policies, and we just did our evidence of insurability yesterday. So they do like your blood pressure, height, weight, do you use tobacco, kind of like, are you riding dirt bikes? Are you going to be skydiving, doing anything?
Flying mini planes.
Yeah. Anything that's like super high risk. So they look at all that stuff. Just keep that in mind, because that, I think, can alter the price mm-hmm. of your insurance. Mm-hmm. And depending on like how healthy you are and such. But for younger people who are healthy, it is, I mean, I was looking at different insurance levels, it can be like $20 a month. But to Karin's point, I do think that if you're a single person and you don't, I mean, it's probably not necessary to be paying
a lot
for insurance.
Of insurance. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Correct.
You don't
yeah.
need like $1 million policy on yourself. So I don't know. That's just funny that we just went through this and we're looking at different prices of different policies and how healthy you are and kind of all that stuff. But I would just say keep that in mind for people, especially when they ask about like family history of mm-hmm. health and all that stuff. So just very interesting. Being an adult is crazy.
It is. And they pull
it's
your...
It's tough, isn't it?
It's hard and it's expensive.
So many things.
Yeah. So thank you. I really appreciate you guys answering those questions. This is kind of just more of a broad overview of all this. But I did have one last question for you ladies. What do you think about disability insurance?
So disability insurance, you know, that is sometimes something that is covered by your employer. And you need to make sure you're taken care of financially if something does happen to you. I'd look into the different options that are available. A lot of times, companies may pay for short-term type disabilities.
Maybe depending on also like what your job is, if you're working in a manufacturing company or something more physical. Maybe doing that as opposed to if you're working at an insurance company sitting at a desk, you might not need it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Just depends.
And there are a lot of different benefits that different companies offer. I think that's kind of our main comments about today is to look at what the benefits are and to understand them. Because sometimes companies pay for disability. Sometimes you have to pay for it. Sometimes they pay for life insurance. Sometimes they give a match. Sometimes they don't. There are other things that you can buy like PTO or personal time off, or there's other types of benefits that other companies think are important for the companies.
Commuter benefits. How do you get to work? There's all sorts of different things out there.
So I think it's really important when you get that email, even though it's scary and overwhelming, it's a really big part of your life in the working world. And to understand what you're getting and to understand what you're paying for and make sure it makes sense for you.
Yeah.
And I just kind of circling back to originally what Evie said about the 70% of your compensation is your actual salary, and then that 30% is such a large part of it. And I know when kids are first graduating college, they want to negotiate their first salary and get more money. But also it's so important not just to look at what your salary is going to be, but also what are all the other benefits?
It's
huge. Yeah, you know, like how much PTO are you actually getting? Do you get 5 days a year?
Right.
Versus another company where you might get, you know, 3 weeks. So I just think it's so important for people to look at that, not just the bottom line of the salary, but also looking at the whole entire package as a whole, because there's so many companies who do have great benefits. And sometimes if you're at a smaller company, they won't have as many benefits, but they might be able to pay you more in salary. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
I just went through this with a client of ours who was looking at changing jobs. And we went through the salary. It was more salary, bigger bonus, but the benefits that he had at his current place overwhelmingly was better.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you understand it. It's a big deal.
So important.
Did he stay or did he go to the new job?
Wow. See, it's just how important these benefits are.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, good. I'm excited. I think today was an awesome topic. Great conversation. And I'm excited for next week. We're going to be talking about investing.
Yay.
Yeah. We're going to dive in.
Yeah. Get ready. Feel free to let us know if you have any further questions about company benefits, or even if you wanted to talk to us about plans and all that stuff. If we can help, let us know.
Thanks for listening.
Have a great day.
Yay. Thank you.